Well, good morning to each of you. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a privilege to have my sister Melvin and Deborah here with us this morning and Dennis's family. Thank you for coming, joining us. And just to each one of you here that's gathered here, welcome and trust that the Lord will have his way today. Yeah, I was thinking, Melvin, thank you for sharing. I was just thinking of those. I don't have a lot of thoughts to share on that, but that was just a beautiful example that you gave of just those hearts, and that can happen right here as a brotherhood. Those hearts that are, they have these walls around our hearts. I just question myself, do I have walls around my heart? Am I open to my brothers and my, even in our home, my wife? And is there walls? Is there things that are not to the light? I appreciate your thoughts on the light. Darkness exposes light. If we come to the light, darkness vanishes, or light exposes darkness. Thank you, Matt, for sharing with the children as well. Let our lives be like that bouquet. That's beautiful. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal Father, Lord, as we are gathered here today, Lord, think of today, Lord, as recognize the society around us as Father's Day. Father, I pray that your Spirit will be here today. Guide my heart, guide my thoughts, Lord. Give me a peace, Father. But just thinking of Father's Day, Lord, I trust that today, as fathers, as daddies in our home, that today, Lord, is not just the only day that we're Father. But that's every day, Lord. Lord, I just commit this service to you, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title today is Fathers with a Foundation. December, just a little bit on Father's Day. December of 1907, in West Virginia, there was the worst mining accident that ever occurred in history of what I looked up. There was, and this mining company, they had, they worked 12 hours, each 12-hour shifts, and they had about 500 men that worked on each shift. But they failed to keep the count very accurately on who was in and who was out. So the numbers that I found was about 360 men that lost their lives that day. But I believe there was a lot more because there was very few that came out alive. There was 360 men that lost their lives. And think of this, there was 250 of those, around 250 men that were dads, that had children, that had homes. And there was over 1,000 children that was left without a dad from that one accident. Grace Golden Clayton, her father died in this accident. She was thinking we should do something in memory of these dads. So she went to her local pastor and she said, let's have a service in memory of these, in commemoration of these dads, these fathers, these husbands that lost their lives, these men. So it did happen. On July 5th, 1908, there was the first Father's Day type service that was ever held. But that didn't stick. It didn't continue. And it went about 2 years later, Sonora Smart Dodd is a young woman from Spokane, Washington. She sat under a Mother's Day service, and she said the same thing. Something we should recognize the fathers, the husbands, the dads. Her own dad took care of her and five of her siblings alone because her mom died while giving childbearing. And so she went to her local, community there, and was just pushing for a day to celebrate. So she did, and she moved quite a bit of many hearts there. So the result from this was Spokane, Washington held its first Father's Day Sunday on June 19th of 1910. So it took about 2 years from the original accident to just move to this point. But think of this here. This was the first, and 1910 was the first Father's Day type Sunday that was ever held. But it took nearly 60 years later, and it was four presidents, where the fruits of her original campaign was finally put on the calendar, recognized officially on the calendar as a national holiday. Now, I'm not trying to lift Father's Day up, as you heard in my prayer, that that's not our heart. That's Father's Day. I think that most society around us, they use this day comes around and the dads are home. Maybe they're spending time with their children, and maybe they're doing a lot of special things. But 364 other days, they're not really there. And I trust that that's not us today. So that's just a brief overview of where it began. But so Father's Day, what is a father and who is a father? I was thinking of this here. Who is a father? When we think of fathers, we think of dads with children. And that is true and that is right. But I want to broaden this horizon to include every person that's in this room, every soul that's in this room, from children to husband, wife, son, daughter, brother, sister, every person. If you are a father figure in somebody's life, you can be recognized as a father. You're not a dad, but if you're a father figure. So as we go through here, let's just think of that the father figure thought. That was probably my thoughts a couple years back, maybe 3-5 years ago, is I'd sit under a message about on the home, and I'm like, this is not for me. But there was different ones that asked me and said, so, I heard a message like this. So how did that affect you? I said, I can pull something from that because I can take that into my home and treat how I treat my wife. So not a one is here is exempt. But if to be a father figure in someone's life, first our home, our personal home has to be built. So you can turn to Psalm 127. We'll be pulling a lot of thoughts from there. But let's think of little children here. My son is 2 years old, and he looks up to his friends, his older friends, his cousins. He looks up to those, and he gathers negative thoughts, and he gathers positive thoughts. So not a one of you is exempt. Each one of you is a father figure in somebody's life. So Psalms 127. Mark, would you like to read? You have your open to that. Would you like just read the first of verse 1, the first three words, and just read that. Just the first three words, Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord. I was thinking of that. Who is building our house? Who has built our house? And a lot of us have probably a history, testimony of where we built on the wrong foundation. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I was just thinking that. Who is building your house? Who has built your house? Who is building my house? Has it been built? Has it been started? Has the construction of the house, your spiritual heart, life, your home, has that been started? And except the Lord builds that house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build that house. I was thinking of, trying to think of an illustration. So most of you are familiar with construction. So this picture that we have maybe a man and a woman, and they decide that they want to build a garage. So they get all excited, and maybe they're getting local counsel from friends and maybe a local contractor, but they want to do this themselves. So they go and you need to get some material. They get the materials around, and they schedule maybe a day to where they're going to do this. So they're all excited, and the day comes, and then they get their tools, and maybe a couple friends are helping them. So they have the walls laid out. They build the walls. They set the walls up. They get the walls put together. They put OSB on the outsides. They put the doors, the windows in. The roof goes on. The garage door gets put on. And then they're completed. So then they stand back, and they're excited. They build a garage themselves. So time goes on, maybe 5 months later, 6 months later, time goes on. And then mom goes out and tries to open the garage door. And it's kind of stuck. Dad fixes it, does some adjustments. A couple months later, maybe dad notices that the one corner is kind of leaning a little bit. What's going on? So you fast forward maybe a year later. You know, they're thinking it'll be okay. And maybe a year later, something is wrong with this structure that we built. Something is wrong. The ridge line is maybe going like that a little bit. Now the garage door doesn't go up. The windows are starting to lean, and they can't open them. And so maybe they start getting some advice. They have a local contractor come over, and he starts looking at this garage that they built. And the first thing he says is, there's no foundation. He said, you didn't put a foundation. Well, I know that you told us that, but we thought we could just build it right on the dirt. So they built this garage right on the dirt, right on the dirt of this earth. I was thinking, is that our lives? That used to be a lot of us here. That was a testimony for a lot of us here, that we tried to build our house, this garage. We tried, but we built it right on the dirt. We didn't put a solid foundation, as Mark read those first three words, except the Lord. Now, if they would have hired a contractor, he would have known that you have to put in a foundation. But this family, they came to a place, and they got this counsel, they got this advice, and they sat down, and they did whatever it took. They said, you have to take this structure down. You're going to lose some time. You're going to lose some materials. But you have to take it down, and you have to start over. And I believe a lot of us in here have that same testimony. I know I do. And where I was trying to build this house, spiritual home, but it was built right on the dirt. And things started to move. Things started to shake, especially when the rains, the winds, the trials of life came. But this family, They did what it took. They took it down, and they started over, and they put in a foundation. So this word build, except the Lord build the house, this word build is, you can start with build from a young age. You know, children, build the house. Build on a solid foundation. And another word that it gives in Strong's is to rebuild. And that's beautiful because even if we have made some mistakes, you know, growing up, maybe we didn't have the right teaching possibly, or and we come to a place in life and we're like, something needs to change. We can stop, we can start over, and we don't have to count the cost. Whatever it takes, we don't have to, you know, count the dollars. Whatever it takes, we have to be willing to do that. And we rebuild our home. We rebuild our home. There may, you know, that may have long-term effects, possibly, but it's possible. Another word to this this definition of this word build is to manufacture. And that means to add on or to modify, to fix. I was thinking maybe you have a foundation. Maybe we're here, we have a foundation. Jesus is our foundation. But maybe there's some cracks. Maybe we find a crack in our foundation. And we can manufacture that. We can fix that. There's ways to fix that. As a thought went this morning of this word manufacture. This past week, just thinking of this message and studying this out, and I recognize that I have part of, there's a part of me that needs some manufacturing. And just to expose myself, it seems I struggle with simply being humble and apologizing. Just saying, I'm sorry. And I recognize that This is a part of my life that needs some manufacturing. I need to, there's a crack in my foundation. I need to do whatever it takes and fix that crack. So praise the Lord, that's possible. So where does this building begin? I was thinking of children here. The most important decision that a young child can make is to accept Jesus early in your life. Don't wait until you're 25, 38. Don't wait until then. Don't put it off. When you start feeling you're reaching those, the age of accountability, some of you may be there. Don't continue to push back against the pricks. If you're feeling that, maybe the just guilty about, maybe you didn't listen to your dad, maybe you lied to your dad, maybe your mom told you to do something and you disobeyed, don't push back against that. Your parents love you and they want to see you, your foundation, your home started at an early age on Jesus Christ. It's a child that honors and respects his parents. It is one that is obedient. I was talking to a brother 2 weeks ago, and he just shared a brief testimony of how he was growing up in his growing up years, and his father, he wanted to do something or have something, and his father just kept pushing back. But dad, all my friends have it. My cousins, his dad said no. But he decided to be obedient. He didn't realize, he didn't know what at the time what was dad's reasoning for it. And maybe he didn't have a real reasoning, but his dad decided no, he didn't want that. So today, he can look back and there was a lot of learning that he learned from that instance. I noticed a lot of our youth are here, but I was thinking of youth. It's purity in mind. It's just a pure mind, pure motives, pure thoughts. A pure courtship. you'll be going through life, and I'm sure that, I trust that all of you will experience that at some point, a courtship. But my desire, I have not had that, but I'm not going to stand here and look back on that as trying to condemn myself. I'm here today, and I desire that for my children. For my children. A pure courtship, a hands-off courtship. I was talking to a brother. It's been a few months back. And he was in a courtship. And he was just conversing back and forth on the, just to be a hands-off and have a pure courtship. And you know what he told me? I might have shared this to you already, some of you, but he looked at me and he says, "I don't know any different." He said, "I don't know any different." But I was thinking of that. Why does he not know any different? Is because you take back to that garage, that family, his parents came to a point, a place in their life, and they stopped and they looked at their house and they said, "Something needs to change." And they did whatever it took to take that structure and to rebuild it on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that is the fruits of that. Praise the Lord. I was thinking also of Alan and Lois yesterday. My thoughts has gone there this morning. Just that when they're reaching, they're up on the stage, and then Steve was there, and he said, "You can now put your hands together." And you feel that emotion of when they do that. You know it's for the first time. It's for the first time. And that touches me every time. And I desire that for my children. Being active in the local church. Youth, brothers, sisters, being active in the local church. I was thinking of Saturday morning prayers. Wednesday night Bible studies. I was thinking of that about 2 years, 2 to 3 years ago. If I would show up at a Saturday morning or Wednesday night, it was, if I did, I did. If not, kind of okay. But today, I want something different. I recognize that we need to be involved. Little things that may not be important, but my son is watching. My son is watching. Just be active. Be involved in the local body. There's church events that we do and different things, but just to be involved. This next portion of this message, it touches a very close subject to me, near and dear, and it's involving children. Dads, it's near and dear to me. Over the past 2 years, there's been a little song that I thought about, or I listened to quite a bit, and it's very touching. It's about 4 minutes long, but just listen to the storyline from start to beginning. Just listen to the storyline of it. And it touches me every time because I don't want to be that dad. I don't want to be that dad to my son, in my home. So we can play that. And it's a little over 4 minutes long, so just sit quietly and listen to the words.
Time has a way of slipping past. to be going, but maybe I'll try to play with you Saturday. It's the final program of the term this senior year in school. As he sings his best to the audience, there's an ache inside his soul. He wishes his daddy could hear him tonight, but like it's been so many times, he wanted to come, but he had to run. He just didn't have the time. Oh, time has a way of slipping past so fast, like the wind blowing through the trees, sand running through your hands. So take time to spend time with those so dear to you, 'cause time has a way of taking them away from you. He's old and gray, the boy's moved away, and seldom is he by the phone. As the years went by, they grew apart, now the man feels so alone. He calls up the boy and he asks him to come and visit him sometime. He said, "I'd like to come, but I got to run. I just don't have the time." Now he's all alone in an old folks' home. He thinks back to yesterday. He wishes he could do it all over again, but he realizes it's too
I trust that we're not dads like that. Verse 2 says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Just picture a dad that's gets up and doesn't even have Bible study or reading in the morning, gets up, maybe rushes to his breakfast, and he's out the door, off to work, off to his job, chasing after things of this life. Gets home at 6, 7 o'clock at night, and this is a daily routine. This is a daily routine. I know that we have our jobs, we have our occupations, but I made a point when I told myself, and I often remember this, before Cohen came into our home, I said, if there's ever a time that I am too busy, maybe at work, doing something on the job site, if there's every time that I can't make time for my wife or my son, that I am too busy. And I know there's times to where we have to work through those things, but I always want to keep that close and near and dear to my heart. So think of this here. I haven't heard this, I didn't hear this personally, but somebody told me this. There was a young father, a young dad in the community at home there where we grew up. He would have made this comment. I don't know if it was jokingly, but he still made this comment. He said, "I would rather go to work than have to take care of my 2-year-old all day." Do you think that this daddy had his son's heart or his child's heart? Did this child have his heart? I don't think so. I was thinking of in the mornings when I get up, There's times to where I leave before Cohen gets up. And sometimes that's easier. Because when he is up, he gets up a little early. When he gets up and then I have to leave, I have to come to a place and I have to tell him, bye, Daddy's going to go bye-bye. And it's hard because he wants to go with me. It's hard for me to leave and rush off out to work. But it's a joy to get back home. And most of you dads would know this experience. It's a joy to get back home. You pull in after maybe a hard day, and you see your wife and your son standing out there in the yard, and they're waving. And then your son, you're walking up to the house, and then your son or your child, just put yourself here. Your child is running over to you with a big smile, and he's going in circles, and he's telling you about everything the whole day. He's trying to get everything packed into 30 seconds. He's telling you about the deer that he's seen up by the barn, and there was a rabbit with it, and the dog, and that's exciting. That's a joy. Verse 3 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." The definition of this word heritage is something inherited, an heirloom, a possession, a property, something given. Think of this one here, a possession to which one has received the legal claim. I was thinking of, my mind went back to at creation there when you have Adam and Eve in the garden, and then sin came into their hearts, their life, and the punishment, we think of this as a punishment as Eve needs to bear children. She's going to have childbearing. But think of this here, that prior to that, there was not childbearing. So that is an actual, I want to look at that is an actual privilege. That is a reward, a heritage that God gave to woman. Parents, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how your children come into your home. Maybe they come in through fostering or adoption. Maybe they're your biological children. But it does not matter. The fact of the matter, it will never change that child still comes from a womb. And that is a heritage. That is a reward. It says the fruit of the womb is God's reward. And that will never change. I trust that is near and dear to our hearts. We have a special needs child amongst us here, Down syndrome child. There's a story circulating around social media of this popular YouTuber, I think it is. And it's a husband and wife. And they were with child. And it was all excited. It was telling all their friends and their followers that we're with child. It was really excited. Then the time came that where they was going to do the gender review. And they entrusted, I think it was his brother, to look at those results. And his brother got the results, and he looked at the paper, and something's off. So he takes it to the dad, and, you know, something's off. So they went through with the review. But then they went back to the doctor, and they did some deeper testing. And the doctor gave them this news. He said, "Your child is going to be a Down syndrome child." And these parents made the worst decision that they could ever make. They did the procedure. Why is this? It's because they did not have a foundation. Nothing. And brothers and sisters, I know without a doubt, if I would ask the parents of our Down syndrome child amongst us, if I would ask them this question, would have that thought ever crossed your mind? I know that they would say absolutely not. Verse 4 says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I'm borrowing a thought from Denny Keniston on his home series message. If we want to see or know the value of a child, I know I am in no way condoning 5 children, 10 children, 15 children. That is a blessing. And each one of your children are valuable. Each one of your children are valuable. Each one. But then he said, if you would really like to know, to see the value of a child, he said, sit in a home that has been barren for 5 years or maybe 10 years when that child comes into that home. He said, sit in the home of that child when that child comes in there. He said, he believes that God allows wait time. Because the longer that we wait, the higher that value raises in the hearts of those parents. Because God has something maybe special for that child. Each child here is special. I know that. But hear my heart. That is the value of a child. Children are valuable. I really appreciate his thought on that. It helped us to think and consider that we was without children for 10 years. So at this time, I want some help from all of you. I'm going to, over here we have fathers with a foundation. And over here, we're going to have the opposite, without a foundation. So I'll give you one example to stir your thoughts, but I'd like some feedback. So number one that I thought of is, takes time with children and spouse. I'll try to write this up here. Then over here we would have too busy. Is there any other thoughts? A father, here's some from some of you sisters as well. A father with a foundation. Some examples of that. Is there any thoughts? I actually have that written down. What would be the opposite of that? All right, too busy. Any others? Fill this whole list up. Something we can learn from, something I can grow from. Fathers with a vision. What would be the opposite of that? Is there any other sisters? Do you have some? Thought of patience and discipline. Any thoughts? Consistency? How do you spell that? Make sure I spell it right. would be the opposite of that? Dying to self? I thought of the home brings a positive atmosphere. Or always angry or moody. I'm sure that we can fill this board up and 8 different boards like this with thoughts that we can grow in as dads, as fathers, as father figures. I'm sure there's tons. So we can read Psalm 128. As I was writing a lot of these thoughts down, it felt like I'm putting a lot of load, a lot of burden, a lot of condemnation kind of on us fathers, dads, that things that we need to grow in, things that we need to do better in. But then I read Psalms 128. I'll read it all the way through here. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. So fathers, dads, if you are already doing this, if you have the fear of the Lord in you, you have a foundation, just continue. That's my encouragement. Let us continue. Just to be faithful. We may come to places in our life that maybe we just need some manufacturing. And we find those cracks that are in our foundation. But let us be a dad, a father, a husband that is willing to do whatever it takes to fix it. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Thinking just like that, Sonora was her name. She started in 60 years later. She didn't see the fruits in 1 year. She didn't see the fruits in 3 years. It took 60 years to finally get that name on the calendar. So we may not see, like, I only have, my son is 2 years old. Many of you have children that are older. We may not see the fruits today, 2 years. It may be 25, 30 years down the road. But if we're faithful, we have a foundation, and we're built on Jesus Christ, and we're faithful as dads, as husbands, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. And then this goes to your children's children, your grandchildren. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. I could just imagine what that peace would be like. We sing that song, Peace for Perfect Peace. if my children are still faithful, continue to be faithful, the peace that a grandpa, that a grandfather could have. So I'll close here. I have a little poem that I was thinking about. I'll read this here. And let this be an encouragement to us as dads and fathers and husbands. If you're a father figure in somebody's life, sisters, children, let's make sure that our foundation is built not on the dirt, as that couple built the garage there. They built it right on the dirt. And it cost them a lot of probably money, time. But let us just make sure that Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior, our foundation. Fathers, if we're already doing this, just let us be faithful and continue. I titled this Wanted Daddies. These are some of my own thoughts, so I trust it makes sense. I want a daddy that will hold me tight when I'm just so tiny and frail. In his arms, I'll know I'm safe. By his smile, I can tell. I want a daddy that is not afraid to change my dirty diaper. A daddy with loving patience for me, even when I'm naughty and hyper. I want a daddy that will take me fishing, sometimes on a Saturday. Evenings, on his hands and knees, with my trucks he likes to play. I want a daddy that will give me a bath and wash my sandy toes. A daddy that fills the tub with soap and put some on my ears and nose. I want a daddy that will take the time to read me a Bible story, and then he tucks me into bed and prays with me to Jesus in glory. I want a daddy that will teach me right from wrong as I grow so rapidly. A daddy that will guide me to Jesus when I reach that age of accountability. A daddy that will teach me about purity in thought and mind, guiding me through a pure courtship, so God's blessings on a marriage I shall find. A daddy that will continue to help, to guide and teach his grandchildren, helping us to teach them about Jesus and giving us pointers on biblical correction. A daddy, but now a grandpa, and in his setting sun years of life, but a daddy that now deserves my time because of all his sacrifice. Think of that little song that we played there. The man went all the way through his life, and he was laying in the hospital there, thinking back over his life and all the time that he failed to take, and now his son didn't have time for him. So daddies, let's be faithful. So that's all I have. May the Lord bless you.